Christians are the church, and we love the church. The church is the body of Christ, a community meant to bring glory to God. But the truth is, not every church lives up that calling. Many congregations face various challenges. Many are stagnant or in decline. And often churches fail to shine as a light in the world, sometimes even reflecting the values and struggles of the world within themselves. Why is this? It started with each one of us. The church is every believer, together forming the body of Christ. When worldly values and ambitions and distractions take root in their hearts, these things inevitably shape the community as a whole. Personal pride, pursuit of comfort and pleasure, the desire for recognition, and compromise with cultural norms enter the hearts of God's people. Soon, the church begins to reflect the world rather than Christ. What affects an individual member affects the whole body. When the world enters the church, we begin to experience the struggles of the world within the community. None of us wants to see this. Of course, there is no perfect church. We all fall short of God's glory. We are all weak and flawed. So it's no surprise that church will stumble and face struggles. Simply rearranging our strategies, leadership structures, or budget won't solve the problem. The real question is not about being perfect. What truly matters is where our heart is anchored, which direction we are heading, and what shapes the decisions we make. Let's look at how priorities shape our decisions and our lives. Take an athlete, for example. If winning is their top priority, every choice they make, what they eat, how they train, how they spend their time, aligns with that goal. Everything else becomes secondary. A student is the same. If good grades are their main focus, they plan their days around studying and preparing for exam. But if other distractions take priority, their time and effort go in a completely different direction. Christian parents face this every day. If raising children to honor God is their high priority, the choices they make, how they spend their time, the conversation they have, and the way they invest their energy reflect that focus. But if career, comfort, or personal desires take priority, the family's life looks completely different. In all these cases, priorities shape our lives. What we value most shapes the way we make every decision. What we place first in our hearts shapes everything. Our choices, our actions, the life we live. Your current priorities not only show what you are doing now, but also reveal the direction you are heading and what you will become. Let's look at Joshua 24:14-15. now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is now an old man, and he gathers the people together to remind them of God's faithfulness. He tells them, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped and serve the Lord. He makes the choice very clear. If they think serving the Lord is too hard, then they must choose whom they will serve, the gods of their ancestors or the gods of the people living in the land. But Joshua draws the line for himself and his family. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knew the people's greatest danger was not about the nation around them, but the idol they carried in their own heart. Idols promised prosperity and safety, but in the end, pulled them away from the one true God. So Joshua confronted them with a choice. Serve the Lord with all your heart, or serve the gods of this world. There is no middle ground. The struggles the church faces are not separate from the lives of the believers. When believers start to bring the values of the world, the church itself becomes shaped by the world. Our idols may not be carved statues, but they are very real. Success chasing after achievement and status, comfort making life easy and safe the highest priority, wealth trusting in money for security, and recognition living for the approval of others, being praised and honored. Even self-centered freedom, putting our own desires above everything else. There are the gods of our age. Just like in Joshua's time, they pull our hearts away from God. That's why Joshua's call also applies to us today. Throw them away and serve the Lord alone. In Matthew 6, Jesus reminds us of the same truth. No one can serve two masters. So renewal in the church begins when each member makes the same choice Joshua made to say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The choice is before us. When we throw the idols of this world away and give our whole heart to God, the Spirit will work in and through us, and the church will shine as the body of Christ, bringing glory to his name. We all know the story of the two criminals who were crucified alongside Jesus in Luke 23. on the cross beside Jesus. Two criminals hung, facing the same suffering, the same judgment. Yet their hearts and priorities were completely different. One focused only on himself, on his pain, his frustration, and his desire to escape. He mocked Jesus and demanded relief. Everything he cared about was temporary, centered on himself, on comfort, and avoiding his own suffering. The other criminal looked at Jesus. Even in his suffering, he recognized who Jesus was and placed his trust in him. His priority wasn't comfort or escaping the cross. It was Christ. He chose to focus on what truly mattered, even in that final painful moment. The one who put himself first left the cross unchanged, receiving nothing beyond their life. The one who put Jesus first received eternal life. The circumstances were the same, the pain, the suffering, and the cross, but their priorities determined their eternal destiny. That cross was for us too. In your own life, where are you? Where are your priorities and prayers pointing? Are they more like the first criminal, focused on comfort and yourself, or like the second, focused on Jesus Christ above all else? Jesus' disciples were living ordinary lives when he called them to follow him and be with him. At first, they came carrying the values of the world in their hearts. James and John asked Jesus to let them sit at his right and left in his glory. The other disciples argued among themselves about who was the greatest. Some were also anxious about their safety and comfort, not yet trusting fully in God's plan. As they lived with him, followed him, and learned from his teaching, their hearts were anchored in Christ. And everything began to change. Peter, who once denied Jesus three times out of fear, became a bold preacher on Pentecost. John, who had once sought recognition, became the apostle of love. Their priorities shifted. Obedience, service, love, and faithfulness to God became the center of their lives. Anchored in Christ, they were prepared to lead the early church, no longer driven by worldly concerns. They built a community with fellowship, truth, worship, and mission. When our hearts are fixed on Jesus, our priorities align with God's, and the church can shine as his light in the world. Second Corinthians 2, 17 to 20, 17, 12 to 17. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us on captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Here, Paul writes about his ministry and the work of spreading the gospel. He used the image of triumphal procession. This was a Roman parade where a victorious general would display captives, spoils, and symbol of victory. In Paul's times, captivities were sometimes included in this display. That imagery can feel distant for us. But the point is clear. Paul sees his life as fully surrendered to God's mission. His chains, his travels, his hardships, all of his part of carrying Christ faithfully, no matter the cost. He also says, "We are the aroma of Christ." Just as a triumphal procession carried the scent of incense through the street, our lives carry the message of Christ wherever we go. To some, it's the aroma of life. To others, it becomes the smell of death. In other words, people notice. Our lives cannot be neutral. What we carry with us will always leave a message. What is first in our hearts? What drives our decisions? If Christ is our highest priority, then like Paul, even hardships and sacrifices become a testimony that honors God. But if comfort, recognition, or worldly gain come first, then we are spreading a very different fragrance that reflects the world rather than Christ. In daily life, this is practical. A parent's priority shaped the aroma of their home. Students' priorities shaped the fragrance of their studies. A worker's priorities shaped the atmosphere they bring to their workplace. Every choice, how we spend our time, how we speak, where we invest our energy, spreads either the aroma of Christ or the smell of worldly value. Our priorities are never private. They shape the aroma of our lives, and that aroma influences our families, our communities, and our church. Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke the bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This scripture passage gives us a snapshot of the early church. And it shows us what the right priorities of the church look like. First, their priority was clear: devotion to God. Luke says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Their foundation was the word, prayer, and worship together. And second, they lived in genuine love as a community. They shared what they had, even selling possessions so that no one was in need. People mattered more than possessions. That's fellowship in action. Third, they lived lives of joyful worship and daily witness. They gathered at the temple. They shared the meals in their homes, and they praised God with glad heart. And the result, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When these are priorities, devotion to God, love for one another, and a witness that flows from everyday life, the church becomes a place where God is honored, people are cared for, and the gospel spreads. Everything in our life flows from who we truly are. Too often we allow our positions, achievement, or the approval of others to define who we are. But that's not where our identity should come from. Our true identity is found in Jesus Christ. As his children, loved, redeemed, and called for his purposes. When our anchor is in Christ, not in what others think or what this world offers, everything else, our direction, our choices, and our goals begins to align with God's design. Take a moment to look at your life. What occupies most of your heart? What drives your decision? What keeps you awake at night? These are not only what you are doing now, but also show who you are becoming. Every habit, every choice, every hour we spend points toward the person you are shaping ourselves to be. One day, we will all stand before Jesus. No exception. When that moment comes, what will really matter? Will we boast about our education before the Lord? Will we talk about the social status or reputation we had in the world? We repoint to the possessions we had. Or will we end up whispering with regret that we lived our whole life only for ourselves? Or will it be faithfulness, love, and devotion to Christ? When you face Him, what do you think will truly matter? What comes to your mind now as you hear those questions? I believe those thoughts reveal what is actually most important to you today. We don't have to wait until we meet Christ to know what truly matters. We already know. And when you finally stand before Him, it will be too late to change your eternal trajectory. When our hearts, dreams, and actions align with God, He works in and through us in His divine ways. The influence of this world inside the church loses its power, leaving no room for it. His purposes are fulfilled, and His kingdom grows. And it doesn't start with individual lives. When a church lives this way, together, we truly experience God as a community. Worship, fellowship, service, and love all flow naturally from our hearts, fixed on Jesus Christ. The church becomes a living testimony of Christ in the world. This brings glory to God and deep joy, peace, and fulfillment to us. Not temporary comfort, recognition, or wealth, but the lasting satisfaction of living in step with our living God. When our identity is in Christ and our priorities reflect His, we experience God personally and as a community together. Let me close with Paul's confession in Philippians 1:20-21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be shamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. May this be ours too, to me, to us. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we confess our times we had loved the world more than you. Forgive us. Teach us to seek your kingdom first. Help us to devote ourselves to your word, to genuine fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. May we be for you an aroma of life, drawing many to you through your church for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and receive these blessings from the Lord who has loved us first. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his heavenly peace. In the name of Father and Son and Holy Spirit. All God's people say,